Good afternoon, Chair. You are on the record.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority's Wednesday, March 6th board meeting. It's approximately 10:45. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask for Amy to do a roll call of our board members.
Commissioner Sandy?
Here.
Policy Director Smith?
Here.
Mr. Kenday? Mr. Fogel? Mr. Ellich?
Here.
Mr. Beadlemore?
Here.
Chair Prince?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. All right. Before us is an agenda for approval. Does anybody wish to make a correction or deletion to our agenda this morning?
Chairman Prince, this is Commissioner Sandy. I'd like to amend the agenda to delete the section or the line on board training, the annual ethics, confidentiality, and conflict of interest training will be moved to another time.
All right. I think the plan would be to do that next board meeting, Randy. And the rationale is that so we have more board members in person for the training, because that's what it's for.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. All right. Is there any objection to amending the agenda as presented by deleting the ethics training? All right. Hearing none, the agenda is modified. I guess I'll take a motion for a modified agenda.
Commissioner, this is Commissioner Sandy. So moved.
I need a second.
Second. Policy Director Smith or Commissioner Crum.
Thank you. All right. Is there any objection to adopting today's agenda modified, deleting board training until our next board meeting? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. That brings us to the prior minutes of January 24, 2024. Does anybody have any corrections, deletions, clarifications for the board meetings, minutes? I'll take a motion for a vote.
Commissioner Sandy, I move to approve the minutes as reflected.
I need a second.
Seconded.
That's your new job, Q. You're the second today.
Just want to make sure.
is there any objection to approve for adopting the minutes as presented for January 24th? Hearing none, they're approved. Next up is item number 5 on our agenda. That's public comments. If you do wish to make a public comment, please limit it to 2 minutes. Please state your name and affiliation, if any, for the record. And again, this is a comment section. It's not a question and answer session. I will ask if anybody's in the boardroom wishing to make a public comment. I don't see anybody. Is there anybody online, Ramey, wishing to make a public comment?
Chair, there are no people on the line today.
Okay. If someone comes up.
Oh, you're going to make a comment.
You got to start line. You got to let someone else start line.
Pardon me, public. For those members wishing to make a comment online, please press star 9 on your phone now. Please clearly state your name and affiliation if you have one. Chair, there are no members on the line now.
All right. Thank you. I will close the public comment section. If someone was to pop up, let me know, Ramey. All right. Board training has been postponed until the next section, our next meeting. That brings us up to new business, which looks like we're going right into executive session. Confidential and deliberate matters related to the LPP interest rate policy, regulation review, HEX discussion, matters related to ADA's finances, budget, which is subject to the deliberative process, privilege, and other matters related to ADA's action that are subject to specific legal advice, which is subject to the attorney-client privilege and communication. I will take a motion to enter executive session.
Commissioner Sandy, so moved.
Seconded, Policy Director Smith.
All right. Any objections? So, Ramey, would you poll the board to go into executive session?
Yes. Sorry. Jumping ahead. Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Look at that, Johnny, on the spot today.
I know. I'm impressed.
Policy Director Smith.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
We're going into executive session.
Voting to go into executive session.
Second. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Kendig. Mr. Fogel. Mr. Ellidge.
Yes.
Mr. Vivelmore.
Yes.
Chair Prunes.
Absolutely. I'm different.
We're in executive session.
All right. So we're...
Chair, you on the record?
Well, thank you. So... Nice long executive session, a lot of discussion. I appreciate the interaction between the board members and staff. I'll advise the public that the board did not take any action on the matters discussed while we're in the executive session. And the session was limited to discussion of matters directly protected from the Public Disclosure Act, Open Meetings Act. All right. So that brings us down to under new business, item number B, which is Resolution G24-01, ADA approving Governor FY25 budget. Randy?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. This resolution is similar to the earlier passed AEA resolution in that meeting, except that it reflects the ADA budget, which for FY25 is static except for an increase of $282,000 for health insurance, PERS rates, and other adjustments. And so this resolution would approve that budget. The remaining difference in the budget number from FY24 is associated with AEA's EJIA positions that run through our budget.
So is that 200 associated with them too?
Partly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll be reimbursed part of it?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So is there any questions on that G24 before I ask for it to be put on the table? Julie?
Chair, I'd like to move to approve Resolution G24-01, Governor's FY25 budget.
Policy Director Smythe, I second the motion.
Thank you. Discussion? Hearing none, I guess we'll call for the vote.
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Policy Director Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig? Mr. Fogel? Mr. Ellidge?
Yes.
Mr. Vivelmore?
Yes.
Chair Prunes?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Brings us to item number C, Resolution LT4-03. Which is a loan to Marquette Manson's LLC.
Thank you, Chair. Tiffany Jansen, Chief Lending Officer for ADA. This is a loan summary for Marquette Manson's LLC, Resolution L24-03. Northrim Bank has requested ADA's participation of 90%, $4,211,887. In just under a $4.7 million loan. This is for the purchase of a non-owner-occupied warehouse and improvements in the heavy industrial section of Ship Creek in Anchorage, Alaska. This will result in 10 construction jobs, 10 new jobs, and 6 jobs retained. The guarantor is Michael Moriarty. He is a owner of the borrowing entity, which is a real estate holding company. He's a real estate broker out of Wisconsin who is investing in the Anchorage real estate market. He will have a manager on this property, which is Alboron Construction, that will be the on-site manager since he is located out of state. This building, again, is a warehouse. It's about 60,000 square feet, constructed in 1979. It's had extensive renovations completed in 2019, and also it's had some roof membrane work. They've also will be completing a roof on it, a full roof, new roof, by the end of this year. The appraiser estimates remaining economic life is collateral is at 25 years. Therefore, with accelerated amortization, this is within regulation. Again, this project is 100% non-owner occupied with the automotive industry as the primary tenant. The aggregate exposure of all debt for this borrower and guarantor is just the proposed loan, which again is the $4.2 million. There was no environmental issues with the property, with several different reports completed on it by the lender, borrower, and ADA also visited the property and found no outstanding environmental concerns. Again, right now, the aggregate exposure is the $4.2 million, which is only 1% of our portfolio, so it fills all of our risk mitigation policies. Northrim has approved this loan based on the high demand anchorage for industrial property, the experience of the guarantor, and the financial strength and condition of the subject property, and the bank's positive historic performance of this investment property. This property was previously a loan through ADA and the lender several years ago and paid off several years ago. We recommend this loan approval of the participation as proposed with the conditions and covenants that are listed there. This will meet ADA's mission of economic development and job creation by providing indirect financing for the acquisition of a large industrial property in the Anchorage market that currently leases space to a wholesale essential services provider while creating 10 new jobs for the project. This loan is contingent upon ADA financing due to market rental rates and the remaining economic life of the collateral. Again, we recommend approval as presented.
How big is the warehouse?
60,000 square feet.
60?
60.
And the value is how much?
8.7 million.
Okay. $145 a foot, roughly?
About that, yes. It results in a 53% loan to value.
Yeah, but they're appraising it at $145, including the land.
Correct.
Yeah. And how much land is it on?
How much? It's just shy of 2 acres, 1.96.
Okay. All right. Those are questions from the board. It'd be good to put stuff on the record, ask some questions, or at least get some.
And if you would also, to the chair, if you would like the lender or the borrower, they are available by phone if you have any questions for the record.
So it's an Alaskan LLC?
Yes, sir. It's an Alaskan LLC that was recently registered September of last year.
Mr. Chair.
Randy?
So currently how many tenants?
There are currently two tenants at this point. One is on a short-term lease, one is on a longer-term lease.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Any further questions from the board? I'll entertain a motion.
Business Commissioner Sandy, I move to approve Resolution L24-03, Marquette Mansion, LLC.
This is Policy Director Smythe. I second the motion.
All right. Any further discussion? Then, Randy, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Policy Director Smythe?
Yes.
Bill Kendig? Mr. Fogel? Mr. Ellidge?
Yes.
Mr. Vivlamore?
Yes.
Chair Pruse?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you.
Okay, item number D, West Sioux budget and field season update. Brandon? And Randy? So I understand the field season update. Okay. What I don't understand is the overall schedule for the project.
Yes.
Is that in here?
I think we can elaborate on that, Mr. Chair. So you have the field season, members have the field season update schedule in place. The larger plan would be to submit a permit application to the Corps this fall when the field season is complete. Under the fiscal year 23 federal changes to NEPA, the Corps would have to complete its review and work within a year if they're issuing an environmental assessment, and within 2 years if they're issuing a full-blown EIS. We think an environmental assessment is the better choice, the choice that should apply here. And so we would be looking at a completed record of decision a year from this November.
So where's that schedule at?
It's
So I have a schedule here for the field season.
But that's not the project schedule.
No, not the project schedule.
I need a project schedule, which includes a 404 permit and theoretically when first dirt can be moved. Now, obviously, it's a moving target.
Right.
Should be updated quarterly. When can I get that?
We can add that on, Mr. Chair. The piece that we would be adding is this November application, a year from then for a decision. Yeah,
they're bullet points, but this isn't what I want to see. I want to see a timeline.
Right.
And with the blocks with it.
So I have a Gantt chart for the field season activities, and then theoretically, then you would submit your core application, and you have a 2-year. They could take up to 2 years if it's an EIS. They could take up to a year if it's an EA. So, then from there on, after then.
That's a bullet point. You put A, B, C, and you put a block next to it saying up to 2 years, whatever, and then you.
Sure.
But there's a timeline.
This
right here is great.
Right.
We can have time. But when the public wants to see something, they want to see it on one sheet of paper or two, and it's March of 2024 to whatever of 2027 or whatever the hell it is. So. That's what I'd like to
do. Sure.
We can produce that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You bet. Well, in the meantime, so the documents I handed you, so one of the comments, just, and we'll post those for the record. Now, these are comments that we submitted to DNR.
Left-handed.
Right.
Stapley.
Yeah.
Am I right? We're all looking going, what the hell?
So before I get into the presentation, I just want to let you guys know the letter that I handed you with the table of comments, those are the comments that we submitted to DNR yesterday, to the Susitna Basin Rec Rivers Plan. That's that management plan that dictates how the rivers within the Susitna.
Oh, that's $100. So now we have snacks for the board.
That's not me.
Oh,
that's my watch.
That doesn't make any difference. That's how it works. $100.
All right.
Ramey.
Mark it down.
Want snacks.
Make sure I'm there to participate.
So at any rate, those are the comments that we submitted to DNR as they're considering revisions to the plan. We wanted to make sure that however they're proposing to manage these river corridors does not have any implications to preventing any sort of transportation corridors within the areas, because that would obviously have implications to the Western Access Project. So those are under DNR advisement.
Now, are our folks online able to see something here?
So those comments will be posted soon.
Your proposal, your presentation here.
The presentation is posted, I believe. And it was emailed yesterday as well, because it incorporated new information that we were receiving. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
So can they can see the board meeting. Can they, Ramey, can you put it up so they can see what page we're on?
Yeah.
Based on?
Yeah.
Well, the email there.
Oh, I emailed it.
Brandon, are we still working on the comments?
No, the comments have been submitted, and they've been emailed to you last night when they were submitted.
Yeah,
to
I have. Mm-hmm. I have been.
We're getting the presentation up.
Private. Sometimes I forget. So while we're waiting, I thought DOT was taking the road all the way up towards Squinton.
So DOT's taking the road, and in the presentation I'll explain the two phases. They've since revised the STIP on March 1st. They've broken out their portion of the project into two phases. First phase is getting to the Susitna River and are getting across the Little Sioux and Fish Creek up to the Susitna River. And the second phase would be getting across Big Sioux and all the way across to Alexander Creek.
Are they giving you a schedule on that?
So they say that they're going to start the first phase in 2024 through 2020, six-ish, seven.
So that would be to the river?
To the river, yeah, across the Susitna. And then the second phase would be that last 5 miles of road across Alexander Creek, once they're to the west bank of Susitna River.
And that has nothing to do with this letter that you gave?
No, that is just for your awareness. Those are comments that ADA submitted to DNR.
That doesn't
affect DOT? DOT has their own NEPA process. They can pay a primacy through FHWA.
Okay, so let me revise my request. To me, whatever schedule you can get from the road, this existing road, including the DOT, what they're planning, all the way to what ADA has to do, not just the ADA portion. Again, it doesn't get good to talk to somebody about the ADA portion. They're going to go, well, what about this section, big section here where we don't know what's going on there? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And I would ask that with DOT quarterly update.
Okay, can I do it? Thank you.
Good, I don't have to look at EV or RE anymore.
Yeah. All right. Good to go.
Thanks, Brandon.
You bet.
Amy? Oh, we lost it.
There we go. All right. Okay. So just give you an update on the West Loop project, where we're at, what ADA has planned, and an update on what DOT has recently submitted in their revised STIP. So
I would ask if you, I know you didn't label the pages 1, 2, 3, but yep. For those online, you can say what page you're on.
Yep, so going to the second page, so this first few slides is just a general overview for the public in case they're listening. Page 2 shows a map of the proposed route. This route would be both, it includes DOT's project and ADA's project. These are separate projects.
Could you also on the map put where DOT ends?
I have that later in the presentation.
Okay.
Yep. So West Loop, 100-mile road starting from just up southwest of Big Lake off A-Shire Road, parallels the Donlin Gold Mines pipeline right away for about half of the road, where the road then will terminate at the base of the Alaska Range out there by the Whiskey Bravo Airstrip.
The college can't hear me.
Sorry.
We had some technical difficulties, Chair.
We lost the callers, the public.
I missed the what?
We lost the public call-ins, like anyone that was listening. This happens.
Hugh, he's right on it.
I know.
Thank you.
through the whole news.
Okay. Sorry about that, and I was informed that we dropped off as I was talking about DOT and how they have two phases to this project, which I will have in a later slide. I think we've covered this one. This is just a general overview for the public. Why is Ada tasked or interested in this project? Well, I mean, one, we were provided a legislative appropriation back in FY22 for $8.5 million. To do the permitting work, and this has been a, this Western Access project's been talked about for many years now. It opens up a tremendous amount of state and borough land that contains, you know, opportunities for land ownership, recreation. There's potential oil and gas out in the Susitna Basin, timber, forestry, also wildland fire, you know, prevention, emergency response, agriculture, but ultimately too, like further back in there, there's significant mineral resources as well. And of the mines, which I'll have a map that shows where they're located, but the Governor's Office commissioned an economic study back in 2022 to the benefits of the road, which we rolled out last year in 23. And you know, Ada's mission is, you know, to promote the economic development of Alaska and to promote job creation, job growth. And this study found that if these three mines, there's several claims listed here, but there's three companies primarily exploring in the area, that if these were to come online, you're talking about, you know, a significant amount of new jobs and wages for, you know, the South Central region of the state. So just to give you a brief update where we're at currently, first, you know, just overview. So I already mentioned that, yep, covered this. Oh, sorry, page number 6. So, as I mentioned, Ada was the primary, you know, was the primary agency tasked with developing this project up until July of last year, when DOT put in their proposed STIP, their State Transportation Improvement Plan, about $70-ish million for a portion of this project, and it would be a separate project, different from Ada's project, but they proposed going to across to the west bank, west side of the Susitna River, which that is significant for us, given that, you know, if we can use 90-10 federal match funding to pay for probably one of the most expensive pieces of that road, being the Susitna River Bridge, it will help the economics or de-risking of whatever portion of this project carries on from wherever DOT decides to terminate. So where is DOT currently? So they just submitted a revised STIP on March 1st of this year in response to the corrective actions that they needed to take from US DOT So what DOT is now proposing, they have two phases for their project. The first phase is 17 miles, two bridges, cross Mississippi and Fish Creek, boat launch facility, that's phase one. I don't know why they call it the child phase and the parental phase, but that's just what they call it. So put that in there. Phase two then, which would start in 2027, that would be the last 5 miles to get across to Alexander Creek. And that's where they're planning to terminate their road right now. There's several subdivisions back in there that are already platted, state and borough subdivisions. So there's a lot of land opportunities for folks, too, if they can get out there. DOT's portion of the road will be 100% public access. The total budget that they're proposing is about $76.5 million. Of that, roughly $7 million is state and $69.5 million is fed. They're proposing to begin construction in 2025, completing total construction in 27. So now we're on page 8. So for the ADA project, so we initially had a core permit that we had submitted back in 22, late 22. When I first started here, my first day on the job, I met HDR and the folks, and then we were informed that the Corps had suspended the ADA permit because there wasn't any activity occurring. So we restarted the permitting team, got the application to a point where it was unsuspended, and we were going to move forward with an environmental baseline document to submit and get a third-party contractor procured so we can go start the EIS process. But that's when DOT introduced their STIP, so with a portion of our project in it. So that changed our permit application. It changed the scope. So we withdrew our application, and we're going to go forward eventually here in the near future and resubmit an application. But in the meantime, for this year, what we're proposing to do is we're going to do a 2024 summer field season. We know that we have some gaps primarily on the alternatives. So it'll give us the opportunity to collect more data, fish studies, acquire more LIDAR, do some pre-engineering, desktop engineering on the alternative routes, and additional cultural resource surveys. So we have HDR, I have the NTP ready to go, and we're working on, I have the proposal for the cultural side, and that should be buttoned up here in the next week or so, but we'll have helicopters and field crews reserved and ready to go for the summer. So now we're on slide 9. So here's the map you're asking for, Mr. Chair. So I put in there in the red in the bottom right corner. So that's first phase. That stretch is DOT's like stage one. The blue box with the blue line, that's second phase of their project, and then I even put little stars with corresponding colors of all the bridges. So I figured you'd be asking about the bridges. So there's all the bridges.
I think there's a bridge crossing the Susitna.
There is. How big is it?
Yeah, how long?
Oh, geez, off the top of my head, I don't know. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but
one day let me know on that.
Yeah, let's see. Actually, let me see if they have it, if DOT listed it. No, I'll get back to you on that. I have that information. So, as I said, DOT is proposing to end across Alexander Creek, which then ADA would continue on. Our field season is going to focus on just that orange line because we don't need to focus on alternatives and whatnot for the DOT portion as they're doing that work themselves. So, and I was talking about the three mining claims. So there's the yellow boxes in the middle of that map. That's the Flatlands coal project where Rob Powers has talked about either export or power plant of sorts out there, the CCUS component. The dark blue one, that's U.S. gold mining. And then Inc., they're still in the exploration stages of their project. They're a little bit behind Nova Minerals, which is in the top left corner. They're further along, and they've been talking about they're finding other minerals out there aside from just gold and copper and silver. They're finding critical minerals, rare earths. They've mentioned they've been talking publicly about finding antimony, potentially, which is critical for the defense industry, among other critical minerals that you need for making electronics and renewables.
Okay. Is it safe to say that the ADA portion of the road has to have some agreement with mines?
Yes. Yes.
Would it be safe to say if I asked you to give me a number, a budget, what it would cost for the ADA portion of the right-of-way instead of building a road to build a logging road, more importantly, clear a right-of-way, do what I would call a slight improvement to it, and it would be a winter access road until further notice?
So I don't have a cost estimate for that.
No, like that.
But we could get that, yes, because roughly speaking.
As you know, logging roads are a little bit different on the permitting process.
Yes.
There's a lot of spruce bark beetle kill up there that we can pull out, and a logging road to access it. Temporary 100-ton bridges going across those smaller creeks that I'm pretty familiar with are pretty inexpensive, temporary bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that would be something to start to look at as a viable alternative. But also what it does is it allows, in the wintertime, use for recreational for people on snow machines or bicycles or whatever they do, and access to some of those critical mineral areas that you're talking about.
Yes.
Instead of a
full-fledged, right,
kind of a phased approach.
Yep.
You know, I mean, literally clear the land, you know, sell the timber on the right-of-way, clear it off, you know, cut the highs and the lows, put some temporary bridges on it, it's a logging road.
Yes.
The commissioner and the executive director know exactly what those are.
We do.
We do.
Does that make sense? Is that a weird ask or no?
No, that's been actually looked at several years ago and didn't go forward at the time, but it is an option.
Do we call that like phase one? And phase two would be the full-fledged road?
Yeah, we can look into that.
Okay.
And I know, like Randy was mentioning, like in the past, in our prior positions, that is something that we had talked about with DNR.
I mean, I'm not talking about commercial traffic coming
right
from the core out of a mine site, whatever, but we are talking about access that people can use.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay. You know, and that level of access is what some of these other companies had said would work for them initially. So it's a good start. And, yeah, we're happy to pick up that conversation again that we've had in the past.
It allows further companies to go out and do exploration and find out whether or not they have a viable,
yes,
viable, you know, resource, and then ultimately come back and participate in a full-fledged road if that's to be built. So it's kind of building up and helping those, right? And it helps reduce their costs for the initial exploration.
Yes.
Okay.
Happy to do that.
So once you cross the Sioux, is there any access points going up the Yetna from the road? Are you going to do any cross access?
Like coming down from the north, essentially tying in that way?
Go up to the northwest, you know, right turns to access to have access to the river. And the reason why I say that is because people go up the river, they can drive up, you know. I'm just curious if there was any of those work close to the river.
So, like by, you know, like an access near Squetna, where you did a, you know, what I would call a logging road access over the Squetna, you know, before you, you know, not to Squetna, crossing the Squetna River. I'm talking about where the community of Squetna is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So right now we don't have that planned in, Mr. Chair, but we can look at it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there'll be several bridge crossings along the way. So I mean, if there was ever the
creeks,
right? Like,
you know, the main access to the public right now is up the river, the Yetna River, and so you would be just kind of putting access to that river. But the main one would be Squetna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a post office there. There's a state-owned airstrip that they maintain. It's a community,
right? Yeah, because I mean, the Squetna bridge crossing isn't all that far from Squetna. So it's just a short jog up north.
Yeah.
So where our proposed bridge crossing is, it's about in the middle of our orange line there. And this map also lists.
See what a Squetna Roadhouse is?
Yeah.
That's Squetna.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like from there up that way, it's not that much further. So we can explore that.
See where it says Northwoods Lodge?
Is that where I need to put the road?
That's where I'm at.
Oh, way.
My place is right there by Northwoods Lodge, right across, right where the E is or whatever.
So avoid that area.
Yeah, we don't want a road there. I'm just kidding.
Right. So
quite a ways, actually, away from, you're on the other side of the hills, really. That's quite a bit of ways from the Yetna River way over there. But it gets closer when you get up to the Squintner. The road gets closer at the Squintner Roadhouse. And, of course, it gets really close by Shell Lake and then Winter Lake Lodge,
mm-hmm.
Your friends. Don?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Brandon, this is Commissioner Sandy. I want to make sure that we're clear on the, and I appreciate all of mm-hmm. these visual aids are really well done, so thank you. But the first one on the Westview Access Project, so the green line is titled Port McKenzie Route.
Right.
So talk to me about what the difference is between that and the an actual road.
So on the first slide, so this is an old slide, which I probably should just recycle the background and put that other map on there.
Yeah.
But the route itself hasn't changed. It's just who, like what entity is tasked with whatever portion as a separate projects now. I mean, this route is in our alternatives analysis. On the front end, There could be all different ways to get down to the Susitna River, but once you cross the Susitna River, there's not many alternative routes you can go. There are some, but that route is the preferred route. It's the route that makes the most sense, or at least that's what Ada had thought in the past. So that's what DOT, I would presume, I don't know, but I presume they're going to take that route as their preferred route, and they'll do their own alternatives analysis.
Probably won't be in my lifetime, but there'll probably be a lot of thought. People considering extending the Petersville Road to come across and intercept this, so you have a whole loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was called, this preferred route was called the Point McKenzie Route. That was just the name they gave it. So
I think there's a trail or a road. Well, there's 10 miles of Susitna River, Yetna River.
I got Oil Well Drive.
Oil Well Drive on the east side of the Yetna.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be really interesting that would open up a huge area for recreation and for folks.
I just don't want people to be confused. So when in your description and these visual aids, which are very helpful, on that first one, when we're talking about the West Susitna Access Project on here, that's the green line that's titled the Port McKenzie Route.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I like that. I think that's mm-hmm. the last map that you did.
Yeah, the very last map is really the same as the map that I had drawn the lines. I just put a clean map in the back just for your, like as an appendix. Yeah, so I'll change out that slide background with this, the last page here, just so that way it makes clear there's the DOT route, and you have the DOT phase and the Ada phase, but this route is essentially, it is that Port McKenzie route.
And obviously for our, you know, at Commerce, our, you know, interest in, real optimism about this project is the potential in jobs and wages. For the borough residents and for Alaskans. And so this information that was provided by the University of Alaska and Department of Labor and McKinley Research Group, do you know when how old that data is?
It's from 2022.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the report that we commissioned in the governor's office then. At the request of some of the folks out in the region, they wanted to, in the Westview region, they wanted to see an economic analysis, like why this road is necessary. So we can get you a copy of that report. It's on our website as well. We presented on the report last year out in the valley. But it covers, it's about 40, 50 pages. And it talks about all the various resource opportunities.
Thank you. And just the last thing, and so for the record, based on this preliminary estimate,
there's the potential of thousands of jobs for Alaskans.
And that's just for the mines? This is just a snapshot of the mining job and wage opportunities, but there's agriculture land, there's some forestry opportunities. I mean, it's whatever you want to make of it out there.
Well, there's recreation.
Recreation, private land.
There's a lot of economic opportunities for people to live out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many pieces of places are out along that corridor. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Their cost of living will go down substantially because of how they get back and forth to a community.
Great. Thank you for your work on that.
Yep.
Is there any plans to put any utility along the road, like ducts for power or communications or anything like that? Fiber optics or broadband?
So I haven't since had discussions with our consultants doing the permitting work for us. I told them that whatever we're doing for our portion of it, because I presume DOT will be doing a utility corridor, but our portion must include, be permitted for a utility corridor as well. And our route, too, I just want to make note of this, like this whole route, regardless of whose phase, the way that it was plotted here or laid out, so DOT's going forward with a 24-foot wide road and 32-foot wide bridges, essentially able to handle like a Mancho-sized truck, a highway legal vehicle. There's the front end of the project. That's how we are proposing our portion of the road, but it's aligned. The way it's aligned, though, it's aligned for easy upgrade expansion.
16-foot top, 4-foot shoulders,
correct.
14-foot, no 100, temporary 100-ton bridge.
Well, that's new, right?
First, yes.
Yeah. But I'm saying that was our plan in getting to that point, because there was the discussion around the heavy haul. Well, this route, though, is aligned that it can be easily, so I've been told by all of our engineers and advisors, it is laid out in a way that if you had to expand it into a heavy haul, this is the course. No, I understand that. I'm saying if we needed to expand the road, I understand.
That's where the 100-ton bridge comes in.
Right.
Because it's less than 100 tons.
But there have been some folks that have said they need that heavy haul, but this road is not, we were not permitting it for heavy haul because DOT is not doing that, but the layout of the road, you could expand in the future, someone could, the route would accommodate that.
Well, that's a right-of-way issue.
Right.
That's not where you're building. Yeah.
Right.
The Amber Mill, 16 4-foot shoulders, at least 8 of portion.
Right.
And the logging road, obviously, wouldn't be that. It'd be less.
And we'll try to get in with Commissioner Boyle next week on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because the 78 miles is not going to be inexpensive to build. It's a full-fledged road, so that's why I kind of stage it in.
Mm-hmm.
And those 100-ton bridges, if they're 14-footers, single lane like on the Kazzyar Highway, so the Canadians use. And then if you got really busy, you just pick another bridge next to it. And that would be your, northbound traffic and the southbound traffic versus replacing the bridges.
Good point.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. Any other questions?
I'll let you know what to see in that schedule.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Next, Mr. Chair, some project updates I can provide pretty quickly. Two of our larger projects, Amler and Anwar, are, of course, in litigation. We have submitted comments into the record on the agency SEISs, and we'll be prepared to push forward with those. We think we'll have the Amler SEIS in the next 30 to 60 days completed, and we hear that Anwar is a little behind that, maybe 90 to 120. So both those projects are advancing. You just heard about the West Sioux. We are preparing a contingency plan for Ambler in case the decision is positive on the route, and we are able to get in the field. So
we will be ready to advance geotech work and other work, Mr. Chair, in the field if we have that opportunity. So we'll come back to the board after the record of decision is issued and see what we can work out with the mine companies for advancing as much work as we can. That's the goal, is be ready, go get as much done as we can this season as possible. So that's the Ambler update. We'll also be ready if we have to. We'll be ready to litigate if we have to. If we get a bad decision, say the BLM selects alternative C, which adds another 100 miles to the route. So we're prepared either way. We'll be in the field, which is the preferred option, or we'll be fighting for, an alternative that works for the project. Either way, but we'll be prepared. That's it for project updates, Mr. Chair. Next item is loan dashboard report. Some activity there. I think our balances are staying fairly close to where they were at the last report. $387 million in the ADA revolving fund total was the balance July 1, 2023. Balance, there's been some payoff, and any balance 131.24 is $375 million. So some movement there, not a lot, but no defaults. We're still in good shape there, and we do have some projects in the pipeline. The one on the agenda today, we'll see some more things, I think, coming forward here in the next couple of meetings.
Chairman,
Julie?
This is Commissioner Sandy. Can you talk very briefly, really, on the default rate again? I think that's an important metric to put on the record and demonstrates real success, both of your team and then just in the process in general.
Sure. Member Sandy, my understanding out of hundreds of loans is that the default rate is zero.
I think that's incredible. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the next item is the statistics summary. That's in the packet for members to review. That's our Small Business Economic Development and Rural Development Fund loan programs. These are small but important parts of ADA's mission. We do have some discussions underway with Mr. Anderson at your shop, Member Sandy. He's got some ideas on how to improve the program, defederalize it, give himself some more flexibility. So we'll be working with him on that. Again, I believe it's a very, very low rate of default, if any. And that's it, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, Julie?
If I could, the revolving loan programs, both under the Department of Commerce and ADA, in my mind, are really just such an important backbone to our economy and often overlooked when we're talking about really measuring success. So I just want to call those out because I think, that ability to have patient capital and at times, during COVID, especially when we were able to modify those loans. But I just think I really appreciated in the annual report where you highlighted some successes. I think that really was a great way to put Alaskan faces on these numbers, and I think that they've been really key in being and helping Alaskans achieve their dreams and have really success stories. So thank you very much for highlighting those in the annual report, and thank you very much to your team for all the work that they're doing on behalf of the revolving loan programs for Alaskans.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. So our next board meeting is for Q's benefit is Wednesday, April 17th. Yeah. And for everybody else, so item 9 is board comments. I'd like to thank Bill and Randy for tuning in to us, even though I'm sure they're in warmer. Well, I know Bill's in warmer temperature. I assume Randy's in Texas. Is that where you're at, Randy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well.
I think Randy and I both, we missed happy hour.
Yeah, that's right. You're 4 hours difference. It's almost bedtime.
Well, I appreciate you guys calling in, and we needed it today. We're kind of shorthanded. I want to thank the commissioner and you for joining us today. So thank you very much. And, of course, Randy and staff, good information. You know, it's fun to progress. Even sometimes we feel like it's slowed way down the backwards sometimes on these projects and what ADA does. Julie?
And thank you very much. I really do appreciate ADA and the mission of ADA and the work of the team, and it really does make me proud. And I just wanted to, as I was looking over the loan dashboards and the regional diversity of the loans, I see on my calendar that Swansea, the Southwest Alaska Municipal event, is happening at the Captain Cook, I think. Don't quote me on that, on the location, but over today and tomorrow. And the diversification of the loans, it looks like Southwest Alaska has the lowest number of the loans in the loan participation portfolio. So that just might be an opportunity for the team to get some more information out to those the Alaskans from Southwest Alaska if they need more information on the loan programs and the availability. And so it might be good bang for your buck in terms of having those individuals there and this week.
All right. Any comments from Bill or Randy?
I'm appreciative, as we all are, of staff as well as Randy and the presentation on the road was really helpful. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Randy. Bill, anything from you? I can't see you, so I don't know what you want, if you want to say anything.
No, sir, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks again to everybody, and appreciate it. It is 3:45, long day for us, and we'll see everybody in April. With that, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
This is Commissioner Sandy, so moved.
This is Policy Director.